Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is an author. He's a novelist, and in fact, Vince Flynn, who died in 2013, created a character named Mitch Rapp. And the man we're going to talk with today, Kyle Mills, has been writing books under the Vince Flynn umbrella with their permission and blessing. And there's a new one out called Red War, which deals with Russia. There's a character that sounds awful like Putin to me. but I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Kyle, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, this is, just so people know, this is an action type novel, Cold War or Hot War, almost a type of scenario. There are some adult themes in there and so forth. But tell us about how you personally got even involved in writing these kinds of things, especially, I mean, you're you know, fitting into some pretty big shoes there, and that's great. Congratulations to you.
No, thank you. Yeah, I've been a thriller novelist. I probably started roughly the same time as Vince. You know, I think I wrote my first novel when I was 29.
Wow.
And my father had been an FBI agent and the legal attaché to the United Kingdom and director of Interpol. So I'd been around, you know, CIA guys and MI6 and FBI and operators for my entire life. So I thought when I decided to write a novel, it'd be fun to kind of plumb those waters and the depths of those waters, and because I'd known so many people in that world. And the Vince Flynn thing came along just because I had done some work for Robert Ludlum and had written some books for them. And when Vince passed away, they called me and asked me if I wanted to continue the Mitch Rapp series, which had been extraordinarily popular.
Wow. So you would have thought with his death, people would say, oh, that's a wrap. No, just kidding. But that's interesting. And how many books have been produced then by you after Vince Flynn's death?
I've done four. This will be the fourth.
Wow. Okay, Red War. And these books are like bestsellers, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're huge bestsellers. Vince was one of the best-selling authors, I would think, in the world.
Wow. Now, I understand that the Mitch Rapp character that Vince Flynn created, by the way, when did he create him? Must have been sometime in the 90s at the earliest.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when like I said, about the same time I started, so it would have been 93 or something, I would think.
And it says here that Mitch Rapp joined the CIA. This is a fictitious character. He joined the CIA in reaction to the love of his life dying in Pan Am 103. So here, Mitch Rapp loses a loved one in Pan Am 103 to the terrorists, you know, terrorist bombing. And in real life, your father was involved with the FBI as the lead man in the investigation of that terrorist attack. Talk about that.
Yeah, kind of a strange coincidence, really. That happened at my college graduation dinner in London. My father's assistant walked in and said a plane had gone down a little town in Ireland, and they thought it might have been a mechanical, but they weren't sure at that point, and it became clear kind of during the dinner that it wasn't, and he went off to Lockerbie and wasn't seen again for months. He kind of moved there and coordinated that effort.
You said Ireland. Did you mean Scotland, or is
I'm sorry. Did I say Ireland? I meant Scotland.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, that's fascinating. So your dad was involved in that investigation for a long time, and who was responsible ultimately?
The Libyans. Who exactly? I mean, it was sort of Gaddafi's. Gaddafi's retaliation against us, and who exactly did it is a little hard to say because so many people were involved, I think.
Sure. Now, will you personally tell us about your own personal background as far as what you did before you started writing thriller novels starting at the age of 29 or so?
I was a banker, actually, and wrote my first book kind of for fun. I just wanted to do something creative. I didn't really do much that was creative. I was worked in corporate banking, and I was a big rock climber, and those were kind of the two things I did. So it was actually my wife who suggested I write a novel because I liked reading, and I never really thought it would get published, but it did, and it went on to be a national bestseller.
What was that called?
Rising Phoenix.
Rising Phoenix. Okay, so let's talk about the book itself, Red War. What was the inspiration for this book?
You know, I've just been fascinated with the Russians ever since when I was growing up on the Cold War thrillers, you know, with Tom Clancy and Frederick Forsyth and Ludlum. And, you know, certainly the rise of Russia again has been really interesting to watch. And it was something new that Mitch Rapp has mostly dealt with terrorism. And I wanted to throw something new at him. So this is the premise of the book is that it's a character based on Vladimir Putin, different name, but he gets brain cancer and he's terrified of losing power or becoming weak because he knows that someone around him will likely kill him, or maybe some outside agent will kill him. So he can't really afford to be weak, and because of that, he has to create a distraction so that nobody knows he's ill. And a perfect way to do that is to start a war with the West.
And one of the things he does to try and get help in a medical way is he takes innocent people who are suffering from the same kind of thing and then forces doctors. This is not a spoiler alert because this is relatively early in the book. He forces doctors against their will to administer certain drugs as a test, using these people as guinea pigs to see if, you know, how they'll do, and if it works, then maybe it'll help Krupin, the Putin character.
Right. I mean, this is a guy who's incredibly rational and incredibly ruthless in his pursuit of power and maintaining his power. So he wants to, you know, he has a very serious kind of cancer, and so he wants to figure out if certain experimental remedies work, and so what better way to do that than to test it on other people so he isn't in danger.
You know, it's so interesting just to think about Russia. Russia's always in the news lately because of, you know, allegations that supposedly Trump, you know, did some collusion with Russia or whatever for the election of 2016. But it's interesting, just speaking of elections, in 2012, Romney got, condemned for saying, hey, you know, Russia is still a problem in the whole, you know, international relations. And President Obama famously said, oh, come on, Mitt Romney, the Cold War ended years ago. Where have you been? You know, something to that effect. And it's like, well, Russia is still a problem.
Russia certainly has risen up since that time. I mean, Russia is a strange country in that it doesn't really it only has the power you give it. I mean, Russia's the largest country in the world, but it has an economy about the size of Italy's. They have a fairly sizable military, but it's not a great military. But they do a great job of punching above their weight, and certainly they've found a cheap way to get at the United States through, you know, media and social media, and it seems to be working. Militarily, NATO isn't really in a position to push back against them because of the way our armies are set up. But it's an interesting country in that it's not really the Soviet Union anymore. It's not a particularly impressive country, but they definitely have a way of stirring up trouble. I think maybe because that's always their goal. They don't seem to want to really improve their own lives or their country. They just want to mess up everybody else's.
So it's kind of a psychological ops. If I could tell you a quick story. My wife is from Norway, and Norwegians force young people, it used to be young men, and maybe women are included now, I'm not even sure about that. But when they, you know, graduate college or, you know, they're about 20 or something like that, 22, they have to go for at least 1 year of service in the military. And if they have a conscientious objection to that, they can do something of a, you know, like Peace Corps type of thing, okay, within Norway. So anyway, her brother was stationed all the way in the north of Norway. I believe it's literally above the Arctic Circle. the border of that is with Russia. And one day when he was there in the 70s, the 1970s, the Russian tanks, the Russian military, soldiers, all these different forces came vroom, right up to the border as if they were going to invade. And everybody was like freaking out. It's like, uh-oh, what is this? And it was just apparently just some sort of experiment. But Norway realized, wow, if this ever happened, you know, what can we do? Hold them over for a day, maybe at the most, until NATO came, hopefully.
Right. And it's a real problem because, I mean, it's another interesting situation that the United States has never really wanted to provoke Russia. So we don't put a lot of hardware on the Russian border, you know, in the Baltics, if it be, you know, potentially in Norway. And it leaves us in a situation where if the Russians really wanted to roll in there fast and hard, we wouldn't really be able to stop them. We would have to then try to push them back, which would be really difficult. I mean, once you've lost the land, you know, getting it back is going to be tough. So I'm not sure I really agree with that. I think maybe we should provoke them, and, you know, they've certainly behaved badly lately, and we should punish that by rolling a bunch of heavy metal onto their border. I mean, what are they going to do? I don't think they can do anything about it.
Speaking of the ruthlessness of Putin, there are all kinds of different situations where there are journalists or, let's say, opposing politicians that you know, end up getting poisoned, or they get somehow murdered or killed. And I'm sure that was a factor as you were writing this book.
Oh yeah, I mean the guy, you have to hand it to Putin. I mean, he knows how to hold on to power. He's done an incredible job consolidating his power over Russia. I mean, he's essentially a czar. And, you know, he's done an incredible job of, you know, making a mess of his opponents. I mean, you really wouldn't think he would be able to do what he has. And I try to portray that in the book, that you have a guy here who really is, in his own ruthless way, extremely impressive. I mean, he's single-minded and he gets what he wants.
Tell us a little bit about Putin's background. I'm sure you did a lot of research.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. You know, he's in the KGB in Germany, so he speaks, you know, fluent German. He was he did extremely well as he kind of rose up from local politics. And in the end, I think, you know, he was a loyal guy. And so when the previous president wanted to leave, again, you have the problem of when people leave power in Russia, they tend not to do very well. They can get, you know, they could be assassinated, they could be put in jail for corruption or whatever if an opponent gets in. And they wanted to insert Putin because they thought he'd be loyal. And I think there's pretty strong evidence that he perpetrated a significant terrorist attack on his own people, so that and blamed it on another group, so that he could look presidential. They sent him in there, and so he cleaned it up and said he was going to go after these people. He looked very strong. And I think that's probably what garnered the initial support for him. But I think it was probably all a ploy on his part. So, again, you see the ruthlessness and his ability to play people.
So although you've written this novel, Red War, there's a lot of truth in the background, in the backdrop.
Yeah, I mean, with my character, that's the president of Russia.
Right.
I didn't make anything up there. I pretty much just used Vladimir Putin's background because, you know, you can't do any better than that. Sometimes reality is better than fiction.
Wow. All right, we have about half a minute left. How about just a quick comment on your hero, Mitch Rapp?
Oh, Mitch is an interesting guy. He's the guy that can get the job done, but he's a little bit ruthless, and I think he's a CIA operative, but I think he'd probably agree that his real job title would be assassin. But, you know, when things go really badly, he's the guy you want in your corner.
Huh. All right, Red War is the name of the book. Kyle Mills is the author. It's in the Vince Flynn genre, I guess, or what would be the right way of saying series?
Vince Flynn series. It's a thriller, certainly a thriller, but it's Vince Flynn's baby. Yeah, he started the series.
KyleMills.com. Kyle is spelled K-Y-L-E. Kyle, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, all the best. Bye-bye.